Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, bringing a biblical worldview to bear on the news as we continue to interact with the breakdown of Western civilization, the apostasy in the Western world, which offers as much fodder as anybody could ever want if you were doing a radio program from your basement in the 21st century, which we are. So we've got lots and lots of ammo, really interesting things going on. You know, this program would be boring if we do it in the 1950s or the 1920s. Yeah. Because in the 1920s, the 1950s, and the 1970s, we would not cover the gay whopper.
That's right.
We wouldn't even have the opportunity to talk about the Proud Whopper. Or this is Burger King has come out with what apparently is called the gay whopper. And Burger King, as many of you know, some of you may not know, is a major fast food chain in America. In fact, you'll find it in other nations as well. And they have their signature burger is the Whopper. And I've had the Whopper before, but now they've got what is known as the Proud Whopper. That's what it says on the wrapper, the Proud Whopper. And the wrapping is made up of the rainbow, which is supposed to signify homosexuality. Sadly, the homosexuals have taken the symbol of the rainbow. And so apparently Christians or anybody else can't have that rainbow anymore because the homosexuals have claimed it for their own. Used to have to do with a covenant, a promise of God that he would not bring a destruction upon the world by water ever again. However, the one thing I think the homosexuals are forgetting about is he did promise to bring a destruction by fire. Okay, now, back to the gay whopper. Okay, so here's a YouTube on the gay whopper, and you don't even have to watch it, but we're going to play a segment from it. Steve, would you hit the play button on this? These are people, I guess, in San Francisco celebrating the Proud Whopper or the gay whopper. YouTube.
I cried in there because I was overwhelmed. A burger has never made me cry before.
A burger has never made her cry before, but she's cried
totally
over the gay whopper.
Yeah, you are.
It makes me feel supported. It makes me feel proud. And it's just a burger, but I mean, it's baby steps the whole way.
We are all the same inside.
Okay, this is a little kid.
I think this wrapper means that we all have the same rights.
I love my two mommies.
I love my two mommies.
I love my two mommies. Yes, that's a little girl that's being raised by two lesbians as the last word in that Burger King 2-minute YouTube on the gay whopper or the homosexual whopper or the proud whopper. Burger King has offered conservative Christian diners a reason to cross the restaurant off their weekly burger cycle in a nod of support, the aggressive homosexual agenda sweeping the nation, reported USA Today. The fast food mega chain has introduced a gay pride version of its signature sandwich, the Whopper. Comes wrapped in a rainbow-colored wrapper with the inscription, "We are all the same inside." Predictably, the gay burger is being especially featured during the July 4th week at Burger King's San Francisco Market Street location. And hence comes the YouTube piece from July 4th. Okay, so, wow. that's pretty sad, huh? I've kind of lost my appetite for the Whopper.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to ever go there.
Now, let's analyze. Let's analyze the wrapper. It says, we are all the same on the inside. And the idea is you get this gay whopper, this proud whopper, and it's the same whopper. So if you can get it with or without the rainbow wrapper.
Yeah.
So with the proud thing on the outside of it. Now, we're all on the same on the inside. What does that mean? Effectively, biblically speaking, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
It's kind of true. Yeah. Except for when Jesus comes to save us.
Right.
So they didn't say that. But we're all the same on the inside. Okay. Again, worldview analysis. We're all the same on the inside. What does the Bible say? Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yeah.
I bet you don't see that on the other side of the wrapper.
Probably not.
You know, the inside that touches the burger.
Yeah.
Okay. You grab your Whopper. You read, we're all in the same on the inside. You open it up, and there it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:3.
Yeah. Who can know it?
Who can know it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Romans 3. They might draw from Romans 3.
Yeah.
Feet quick to shed blood. We've all gone out of the way. We've all gone astray. None seeks after God. No, not one. There's none that doeth good.
Yeah. And so we are all the same.
So, yeah, we're all the same. So on the inside and the outside, actually.
We could agree with that. Nature, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I guess we could agree with that.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they are Pelagian.
Right.
And see, again, people don't always think about the root issue when it comes to issues like homosexuality. Homosexuality, the whole movement, is effectively rooted in a Pelagian way of thinking. And that is, humans by nature are good. We don't have a sinful nature. It's like that homosexual who was protesting outside of Focus on the Family a number of years ago. Never forget what he said. These people in here think there's something terribly wrong with us that needs to be fixed.
Of course, I was thinking,
yeah, that's right. Amen.
Yeah, all of
Amen.
Us.
What he said. Yeah, me too. You, yeah. Me. Funny. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. That's why Jesus came. But that's the last thing these guys want. And I'm talking about Christian churches that support homosexuality. Same thing. They have so minimized the atonement and the victory of Christ over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're so minimized the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. They've so ignored it. They've so degraded the atonement of Christ. They cannot think that he came to cleanse us from the evil, the wickedness, and the depravity that constitutes a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. See, that's the thing they don't want. That's the fundamental issue with gay pride.
Yeah.
That the proud whopper. The proud whopper does not believe that there's something wrong with the whopper.
Yeah. Yeah. They it's that, like that bumper sticker, born right the first time. You know, so I don't need to be born again.
Right.
I was born okay the first time.
Yeah. Right. The proud whopper believes that we're all the same on the inside. We're all doing pretty good on the inside. Nothing wrong with us. And what's assumed is all things and all people are acceptable.
Yeah.
Except
universalism.
Except for Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, they don't want to say that.
That's right.
No one wants to bring up Jeffrey Dahmer. He's the one guy, or Adolf Hitler. Don't want to bring up a few examples.
Yeah.
Because what they want to say is, you know, we're all fine. We're all fine. Doesn't matter what you do, you know, pedophilia, incest, homosexuality. We're all good on the inside. You know, we're all a pretty good tasting whopper on the inside. Everything's pretty good. That's what the proud whopper believes. And that's why the proud whopper is so proud. And that's why the proud whopper will never, ever fall on his face, cry out to God, God, have mercy on me, a wretched sinner that's utterly corrupt to the core, not just the wrapper, but all the way to the core. I'm corrupt. I'm corrupt with this homosexual lust and the heterosexual lust and fill in the blank lust. I'm so corrupt with all the lust and pride that I need a savior to save me from this. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That kind of thing does not happen with Americans.
No.
Who maintain the gay pride or maintain any other form of pride. Americans are big on pride. I see it running by just about every school on the marquee.
Yeah.
You know, school pride, this, pride, that.
Yeah.
Americans love pride. Pride is what they're all about, and they'll admit it to you in a heartbeat. But the Bible is very much against pride, and God does not draw near to the proud, and pride comes before a fall, haughty spirit before destruction. It's what the Word of God says about pride. So, you know, anytime you run into gay pride, right away, you know, you have two problems. You have a problem with lust and you have a problem with pride, which happens to be exactly what defines the world.
Yeah.
You ever wondered, you know, wonder what the world is? You know, you look up First John 2 and find out the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And you run into a big old sign celebrating gay pride, gay standing for lust and pride standing for pride.
Two of the seven deadly.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's exactly what John was talking about as he is defining the world.
Yes.
So this is a no-brainer, friends. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. The world proudly admits who they really are, and certainly they are not seeking Christ.
Yeah. We're proud and proud of it.
You know, it is interesting that we're all good on the inside, but they won't admit that Jeffrey Dahmer has a problem.
Yeah.
They're always inconsistent on this.
Yeah.
Always. Yep. You notice that, Steve?
Yeah, there's always that line.
Yeah.
You just got to find where that line is.
I guess it's a moving line. I guess eventually, by the year 2100, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, winning awards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer is the new pagan, and he's a cannibal, but, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah, it reminds me of the...
He's cannibalized more than anybody else, so he's got to be a winner.
Yeah, there's
so
a...
That's what happens in the year 2100 as Americans give way to total relativism.
It reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode where these aliens came and they gave a book to the people. It was called To Serve Man. Turned out not that they were trying to serve man, but it was a cookbook on how to serve man.
Sort of like the Korean cookbook, 101 ways to walk your dog.
That's right.
Okay. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th through the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's C-H-E-C.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. And Burger King coming out with a new Proud Whopper. And, you know, Pride, celebrating Pride and buying the Pride Proud Whopper, you know, you'd really not want Christ to come back. You follow me here? Yeah. While you're eating your Proud Whopper, yeah. And it's Judgment Day.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there and Jesus is going, so what's up with the Pride? If Pride comes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're like, you really want to be chomping into the Proud Whopper if it's Judgment Day?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd advise against it. I'm not saying boycott Burger King, but man, they're supporting gay pride marches. They're right there behind the homosexual agenda, right on the edge of it all. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm liking Chick-fil-A more than ever.
Yeah. I'm thinking Jesus would also say, you know that rainbow? That's mine.
Yeah. Cut that out. Cut the Proud Whopper out of there. I get the rainbow back.
That's right.
Okay. But now Chick-fil-A is looking better and better all the time, especially as I read this article from British Columbia. I'm not sure where I get this article, but apparently British Columbia has got a little Chick-fil-A up there, and apparently, there was going to be a broadcast, a television events hosted by LeaderCast, an annual leadership conference out of Atlanta. And they were sponsored by Chick-fil-A, which, by the way, is based in Atlanta. So there's no surprise there. It was a program that was streamed to 800 cities worldwide, sponsored in part by Chick-fil-A, including the involvement of Kathy, who's the owner of Chick-fil-A. So what happened was this city council in Nanaimo, British Columbia, city of 85,000 people, decided they did not want this Chick-fil-A event in the city of Nanaimo. The resolutions read in part, the city of Nanaimo advised the Vancouver Island Conference Center that as owners of the facility, any events that are associated with organizations of people that promote or have a history of divisiveness, homophobia, or other expressions of hate towards, you know, pedophilia, towards homosexuality, towards adultery, towards cannibalism, towards, you know, any kind of a hate. No, not that.
Okay.
You can hate Christians.
You can hate Christians.
You can hate
Christians.
Yeah.
All right.
But any kind of, they didn't list everything. It's dot, dot, dot there. You see that? Expressions of hate, dot, dot, dot.
I hate people who hate. Yeah.
So I'm just assuming that's expressions of hate against. So if anybody hates pedophilia, child abuse, cannibalism, serial killing, axe murdering, if anybody hates these sorts of things, not welcome in the city of Nanaimo.
All righty.
Not welcome. In sponsoring the resolution, this guy who wrote the resolution accused Dan Cathy and Chick-fil-A of having a, quote, rich history of homophobia and other divisive practices. Another council member, Jim Kipp, compared Cathy's beliefs to organized crime, claiming that he found them almost to be, quote, a criminal point of view in this day and age.
Wow.
Which is where Canada has gone.
Yeah.
Canada has criminalized anybody who takes a point of view against aberrant forms of sexuality, which I don't know how many forms of sexuality that is. Homosexuality, pedophilia, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't know. But if you've taken a position against aberrant forms of homosexuality, you will likely be fined or put in prison in the nation of Canada. And that may be why Canadians are trying to escape over the border into America, even as we speak. So it's kind of scary stuff, but they're pressing, you know, pressing Christians and anybody who takes anything of a sane position on sexuality, or anybody who maintains any kind of a sense of virtue or righteousness in the modern age.
Yeah.
And they want to put them in prison in Canada, from what it appears to be happening here in British Columbia.
So they're intolerant of people who are
Righteous or have any sense of righteousness. If you have any sense of righteousness whatsoever, you know, even a modicum of opposition to serial killing, for example.
Yeah.
If you would take a position against serial killing, say abortion, form of that, and homosexuality, it sounds to me like you're not welcome in this city.
Not sure I'd want to go to that city.
Apparently the vote passed 8-1 to cancel the event because of Kathy's and Chick-fil-A's involvement. So it's an 8-1 vote. The only dissenting vote came from Bill McKay, who pointed out to his government colleagues that in addition to Kathy, participants would include South African Bishop Desmond Tutu. Okay. And Laura Bush.
Yeah.
So they weren't welcome either because true at Kathy's involvement. The actions of the city council generated a hailstorm of criticism throughout Canada, with one leading conservative Canadian commentator, Ezra Levant, arguing that the local officials were guilty of shocking bigotry against the Christian faith. Another secular commentator wrote that he was deeply shocked by the actions and hoped that these councillors pay dearly for this. I'm ashamed to be a Canadian. I am not a Christian, but I defend the Cathys' right to their beliefs. The conference itself has nothing to do with what these councillors are alleging. So I guess all that to say, eat more chicken.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
That's right.
You know, if you happen to be passing a Chick-fil-A and the Burger King is like, you know, 100 feet to the left and the Chick-fil-A is there on the right, just pull into the right and have a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Unless
it's Sunday.
That's right.
In which case, you better pack a sandwich.
Yeah, you could buy one from the day before and reheat it.
That's right.
They're pretty good the next day, too.
So, okay. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
The battle is raging right and left. Here's another example of this. Elton John.
Elton John? Oh, yeah. He's a pinnacle of something.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
You know what? He's the first. He's the first out of the closet, leading the pack, mainstream homosexual of all time.
Yeah.
With maybe the exception of Johnny Mathis, or there might have been a few others.
Yeah.
But mainstream. Everybody likes him. He's leading the pack. And he never received any real negativity due to his coming out of the closet. Elton John is leading the pack. I don't think of anybody else in the 1970s coming out of the closet, claiming to be a homosexual and leading.
Yeah, not from that far back.
Yeah.
You know, Little Richard, maybe. But he wasn't like the leader of the pack.
Elton John is huge.
Yeah.
I think he's the fifth most popular singer by album sales in the history of popular music.
I think
he's number 5, if I'm not mistaken. Might be number 5 or number 6. I treat it in the last section of my book, Apostate. There's a cultural section in which I deal with the raging, wildly popular apostates in pop culture. You need to read the third section. It's called The Cultural Nephilim in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Brought Down the Christian West. Be sure to get a copy of my book to read a little more on the background of Elton John. But Elton John has come out recently and said, quote, if Jesus Christ was alive today, I cannot see him as the Christian person that he was and the great person that he was, saying that same-sex marriage could not happen. He was all about love and compassion and forgiveness, trying to bring people together, and that's what the church should be all about. Now, forgiveness.
If he was alive.
if he was alive, Well, no, it turns out, he is.
He is.
Yeah, he is. That's pretty important.
Yeah.
That's really important to the Christian faith.
Yeah, so,
But secondly, if he's all about forgiveness, forgiveness for what?
What?
Yeah, what would you forgive somebody of if they've never sinned?
Right, because, you know, the homosexuality is not wrong.
I know. Condemning sin.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, if somebody condemned sin, let's just suppose there was somebody condemning sin in the world today, as in, say, some basement on the eastern plains of Colorado.
Yeah.
Let's say somebody stood up and said, I am going to condemn the sin of heterosexual fornication or homosexuality. I'm going to condemn that sin.
I forgive you.
Okay, that's That's what Elton John wants forgiveness for. Because he believes that's the only sinner left.
Right. The sin of actually being a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Elton John forgets that forgiveness has to do with sin, and sin has to do with the transgression of the laws of God.
Yeah.
And this is pretty important
to
a Christian way of thinking. If you jettison the law of God as a standard for what defines sin, then you have jettisoned everything. You've lost the atonement. You've lost the notion of forgiveness. Yeah, Jesus is about forgiveness. By the way, he's also about judgment.
Yes, he is.
I don't read that in here anywhere. He's all about love and compassion and forgiveness. I don't see treading out the wrath of Almighty God.
Yeah, gentle Jesus.
You see that anywhere?
Yeah.
You see the blood coming up to the...
Who warned you to flee from hell.
Don't see that anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't see him depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I don't see that anywhere in Elton John's statement. I guess Elton John has his own Jesus.
Yeah, one that's
he's
dead.
Got his own Jesus, yeah.
And he's dead.
And he's dead to boot.
Yeah.
So I guess he's going to die with his Jesus.
That's right.
Unless he finds the right one. That's we need to pray that Elton John finds the right Christ, because if he doesn't, he's in big trouble.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Well, this is the kind of thing that's happening quite often. And let me say one more thing about this. Jesus Christ has given us a law. And that law is found in the Old and New Testament. In fact, we just read this morning, Matthew chapter 7, that not everybody calls me Lord, Lord shall be come into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the will of the Father in heaven has been communicated to us through what is known as commandments and laws. And I know people don't really want to engage these things, and they don't really want to embrace the law of God and teach the law of God in the churches. And this may be why Elton John is who he is. That's what constitutes the apostasy of the day, more than I think anything else. The exit ramp off of orthodoxy today is in a tossing off of the commandments of God. And it's just the opposite of what's defined as a Christian in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and chapter 14, as those who maintain the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. So, you know, the commandments of God are very important, very distinguishing in the end times. So if you want to know who's on the right team, you gotta discover who's on the right team by who teaches the commandments of God, who emphasizes the commandments of God, and who keeps the commandments of God. This is a huge issue, huge issue. And if it's not being taught in the churches, and if it's being degraded in the churches by the theology taught in the churches, then you're looking at apostasy in the end times. That's what constitutes apostasy in the end times, as defined by Revelation 12 and 14. So there's a book out recently called Antinomianism, mm-hmm. Reformed Theology's Unwelcome Guest by Mark Jones. I'd like to interview Mark Jones, by the way, on this, because it's about time somebody comes out with a book on this. Antinomianism means against law.
Right.
Okay. That's people who whenever you mention law, they hate it. They don't like it, and they will oppose it with everything in them. They'll set grace against law. And according to Mark Jones, this antinomianism is actually rather strong. It's coming back in American churches. Now, he refers to Reformed churches, but he could just as easily refer to evangelical churches, Baptist churches, right. Presbyterian churches, wherever they don't want to emphasize the laws of God, where they don't want to teach the laws of God, where they don't want to call people to repentance on the basis of the laws of God, you've got antinomianism. You've got people who are against the law. So World Magazine has a review of this. Caleb Nelson, homeschool young man, by the way, from Patrick Henry College, there he is, does a review on antinomianism by Mark Jones. And he says, here's a quote from the review. Believers are not under the law in that keeping the law does not grant them any right to eternal life. Nonetheless, the law is the way to life in this respect. For those saved by grace, keeping the law leads to the possession of eternal life. Antinomians disagree. For them, the law is only a way to death. Like the scholastic theologians he admires, Presbyterian minister Mark Jones depends heavily on making distinctions, and one can find many arguments dependent on fine distinctions in antinomianism. Jones holds a PhD in historical theology, and though this work aims at a popular audience, it is utterly unafraid to dive deep into Scripture. Another distinction, God's love for his people has two aspects. It is always a love of benevolence, but only sometimes a love of complacency. That is, God benevolently wills good for his people at all times, but when they sin, his complacency or pleasure for them is diminished. David's adultery displeased the Lord, and therefore law-breaking by Christians has real consequences for their walks with God. Similarly, Jones argues the law is not absolutely opposed to the gospel. Rather, the gospel, like the law, includes threatening for those who do not obey its commands of repentance and faith. Jones parses slogans like, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does, and shows how they can quickly be perverted by antinomian understandings. Quote, Christ requires our good works out of necessity that is principally in view his glory as the mediator who comes to you see the fullness of his work as the church is conformed to his image. So in other words, what Mark Jones is trying to do in this book is he's trying to be sure that we do not separate sanctification and justification in the Christian life. And we recognize the importance of the law of God as defining sin, not as the means by which salvation comes to us, that is grace through faith, but that salvation includes, tacked onto it, sanctification and a conformance to the laws of God.
Yeah, that is what it's really about, is sanctification, that our spirits are saved, but our minds and our bodies are being sanctified or being saved, then ultimately, when Jesus comes again, we will be glorified and won't even have the option to sin again. But
justification puts us in right standing with God in a judicial sense. Sanctification is a cleansing of our lives such that we are no longer homosexuals. We're no longer fornicators. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says that no fornicator, no homosexual will inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you, but you are washed, you are cleansed.
Right.
Cleansed, you are sanctified by the washing of the word and the washing of the sanctifying influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's salvation. Salvation is what? Salvation is salvation from sin, and that includes the guilt and the corruption and the power of sin over you. Can't separate those things out. If you're saved from sin, you're saved from guilt and the power and the corruption of sin in your life. And there's some people that do not want to be saved from their sin of fornication, homosexuality, pornography, etc. They don't want to be saved.
They just want to go to heaven when they die.
They just want to go to heaven, or they want to be saved from the guilt.
Right.
They don't want guilty consciences, but they don't want to be saved from sin.
Right.
They want to be saved from the guilt, but not from the corrupting influences of sin in their lives. So if that be the case, you don't want to be saved from sin.
Right.
And if you don't want to be saved from sin, you don't want Christ. Because Christ came not just to forgive you, but also to remit your sin, to wipe them away, to wash them away, such that you're no longer corrupted by that sin, and that sin no longer has dominion in your life. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came for the whole enchilada. He came to save you from sin, from the guilt, and the corruption and power of sin in your life, both. Therefore, justification and sanctification are distinct, but not separate, in the life of the Christian. All right, my friends, very, very important theological considerations. I'd encourage you to get a copy of Mark Jones' book, Antinomianism. We do not have it on our website, but I would encourage you to grab a copy of it at some point, because it does bring a very important discussion to bear in the Reformed churches and the evangelical churches of modern day. Folks, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.